Welcome to the Christmas Eve 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's anthem is presented by Cindy Johnson, Mary Keltner, and Ron Landreth. The sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Do You Hear What I Hear? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families here. And whether you're a longtime member or first-time guest, we are honored that you are present in worship with us this morning. We want to make sure who was here. There are pew pads on every pew. We invite all of you to take those. If you don't see them, you may be sitting on it. It's on the inside aisle of every pew. Fill that out, members and guests alike. Put your name, check the appropriate boxes, and then send it to the end of the pew. We ask that once it gets there that you send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick those up later in the service. We appreciate you helping us out with this, members and guests alike. We want to say a thank you for our white Christmas treat bags that were done by the Grogan family. They were provided for our children. If your children were not in Sunday school this morning, they are in the Sunday school class. Make sure you run by and pick those up. Those are great treats for our kids. And parents can probably sneak a few things out of the bags as well. So we hope that you go and pick those up before you leave church today. A reminder to our children, we are having children's time. That's when you guys will come down front and meet me right here in front of the tree. That will be happening during hymn number 79. That's our first hymn this morning. We want you to come and to all the children to come down and meet me down front for children's time. Also, Christmas Eve service is tonight or this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We hope that you can come and be a part of that service here in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock is our Christmas Eve service. We are having a special service next Sunday morning. Our college students will be in charge of the service next week. So college students, we have places for you to serve. It's going to be a great day of worship, so we hope that you come. And as we get ready for the new year, it's a great way to celebrate with the college students being in charge next Sunday morning. A reminder to all those who purchase poinsettias, we ask that you not take them until after tonight's service so that we can enjoy them until the service is over tonight. Just pick them up later after the service tonight. There is no Wednesday evening services this week, so just make a note of that. Also, got word from David Voss that he went to visit our Mountain Outreach family, the Carolyn Jones family, went up there just recently and did some Christmas shopping for them, and they are doing well and send their best wishes to all of us at College Park. So that's good news to hear that the impact that College Park continues to make is a good one, and we appreciate David going up there and giving us that word. Let's see. Lots of announcements. Let me... Raymond Smith, come on up.
At the Welcome Center, as you leave this morning, I hope that you'll pause for just a moment and take a bookmark. Mine's already been written on quite a bit, but it says 90 Days of Focus. You've been reading about that in the newsletter, and several Wednesday nights ago I shared with you a little bit more detail. But in case you weren't here on that Wednesday night, what we want to do is start January 1st, and read through the Bible in 90 days. And this is a plan. It's a bookmark that's marked out in 88 days plus 2 days of grace. So it gives you a couple of days there at the end. If you miss a day, don't fret. If you miss 2 days, don't fret. If you miss 3 days, you better read twice, okay? So that's the plan. And what we'll be doing all through these 90 days, from January 1st leading all the way up through Palm Sunday, we'll be reading together through God's Word. It's only 12 pages a day. You can do it. Well, it's 12 pages in my Bible. I don't know how many it is in yours, but it takes about 15 to 20 minutes a day to read. And it's a wonderful time for us to focus in on who God is. As we celebrate Christmas, we see God come to in the form of a Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in the year following that, in the 90 days following that, we want to focus in on His Word. So if you would take a bookmark, if you're willing to join with us in reading through God's Word in 90 days, take one of these bookmarks. It will help you as you progress through day to day. Our sermons will be coming from the readings for that week. So if you read your readings in the course of that week, the sermon material will be a lot more familiar. You will have read it during the course of that week. And Wednesday nights and those type of activities will be referring back to the readings for the week. So if you would like to take one of these at the Information Center, as you go this morning, you'll be receiving a letter probably this week as well with more information about it. And certainly feel free to give me a call if you have questions. Thank you.
We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have already received your information by signing our pew pads just a few minutes ago. We want to give something to you as a guest this morning. If you're, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles. If you would just raise your hand if you're a guest, they would like to give you this packet of information. Inside the packet of information, we'll tell you information about the church, about our history, about things that we believe in, as well as you'll find a newsletter that tells you about all the current things happening in the life of our church. We pray that this hour of worship, especially during this Advent season, will be a blessing to you. Thank you for being with us this morning. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and as has been our custom the last couple of weeks, we have joined in a special reading at the beginning of the service and the lighting of the Advent wreath, and I want to invite the Cohen family to come and to be a part of the service now.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festival procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Not one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him.
Thank you, Cohen family. You will find a responsive reading as we begin our worship this day in the bulletin. We call it the invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that comes from Psalm 89. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Let us read together. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself.
O Lord God Almighty, who is like you, you are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you.
Amen. Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Father, in the stillness of our hearts this morning, we are glad that we are here. So many times the world around us is just so busy and just so loud. People going from one place to the next. And not stopping to remember why Christmas is here. So Father, on this morning, at this moment, we thank you for the stillness of that night when our Savior was born. What a gift. What a gift that He was that night and continues to be. So Father, regardless of where we have come from individually this morning, no matter what our lives have been facing, the decisions that we're making, we are here this day. And we have come to celebrate your birth. Because in your birth we find the true meaning of love. In your birth we find purpose for living. And when we forget why we celebrate Christmas, that's when our life goes wrong. So help us to focus and worship on you and you alone during this hour. May the stillness of our hearts speak volumes of how much we love you and how much we need you and we want you in our lives. Hear our worship this day, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Y'all are looking mighty good this morning. Everybody feeling good? Yeah? Yeah? All right. Well, it's good to see you. How many of you helped decorate your houses for Christmas? Anybody help put up the Christmas tree? Did you help put maybe stuff in the windows? Yeah? Good. Now, do you have one of these trees in your house? Something like this, maybe not this big, but it's you've got something like that. Now what did you put on the tree?
Ornaments.
Ornaments? What was your favorite ornament that you put on the tree, Sam? The star. What is a star? What do you think about when you think of the star?
Jesus being born.
Jesus being born. Bryson? What did you put on the tree?
I knew it was
Thomas. I knew it was coming. All right. Good. I've got favorites on here. Now, this is what we call a chrismon tree. And chrismon is kind of a short name for Christian monograms, or kind of like symbols of Christ. Okay? They kind of tell us a story or a meaning in all of these different kind of ornaments. And I'm going to show you some. Let's see. Ooh. Can y'all see this one? What does that look like?
Fish.
A fish. That's right. The fish was a symbol of Christians back way long ago and has stayed with us all the way up until today. So that reminds us of Jesus. Okay, let's see. Can anybody see this circle and a triangle together?
Yeah.
Now this is one of my favorites. Now we talk about God being... being three people, right? Father, Son, Spirit, right? Well, that's what the triangle. It has three points, doesn't it? Right? And then you see the circle. Well, that tells us that circle is a symbol for eternity. And so what this tells us is that God is Father, Son, and Spirit forever and ever and ever. That's pretty cool. Let me see. There's some more around here that are my favorites. Oh, you see this? What does that look like?
A cup.
A cup. Now, when do we use a cup?
When we drink.
When we drink in communion. That's exactly right. That reminds us of our communion. Okay. Now, oh, this is a good one. Now, there are two symbols here. What do you think?
It reminds us of Jesus died on the cross for us.
That's exactly right. You see the cross, and then you see this circle. Now, that circle of the world. It's like the cross. Jesus died on the cross to save the world from its sins. Any more that you see? Which one?
The crown.
Okay, the crown. What is the crown for?
Jesus is a king.
Oh, see? Y'all are just preaching this sermon for me. This is great. All right. Let's see. I got to see some more. Your music note? What's a music note for? Okay, we sing music to him. That's the music. See, these are great. There's another music note. Oh, they're just so... Do you see a face?
I see one.
A triangle? They're just... I see it. They're everywhere. Now, I want you to go home, and I bet you find some kind of symbol on your tree or somewhere in your house that reminds us the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas is Jesus, right? Yeah, the presents are great, and we know Santa's going to come, and we're going to get
tonight.
Is he coming? He's coming tonight. He better come tonight. He better come tonight. Yes, ma'am.
I have a chrismon tree at my school.
You have a chrismon tree at your school? Did you learn about them at your school? We need to learn about all the ways that Jesus loves us and all the things that he did for us. And we can do that by looking at our tree and by remembering the real reason we celebrate Christmas. And that's Jesus. It's not about what we get as presents. It's about what Jesus did when he came and was born in Bethlehem. Okay, you remember that tomorrow morning. Will you pray with me? Okay, let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. And we thank you for why we celebrate Christmas. It's about the gift
of Jesus way so many years ago in Bethlehem. And we thank you for what he did and for how much that he loves us. There is so much that you have to teach us. Help us to remember that you love us and you sent Jesus to be our friend and to be with us, to die on the cross for our sins. God, we love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Thank you, children. As we share a word of Scripture through the ministry of God's Word, through the reading of Scripture this morning, we read first from the Old Testament prophecy about another certain child. From the book of Micah in chapter 5, beginning at verse 2. Hear the words as shared by the prophet Micah about a promised ruler from Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. And from the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning at verse 5, part of what we know as the fulfillment of that prophecy. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First, he said, 'Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made.' Then he said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. As we enter into a time of prayer, I'd like to share with you that one of our own, our friend Sandy Arell, went on to be with the Lord on Friday afternoon. Sandy, a 50-year member of this church and a person who really loved this place. So please keep the Orell family, Tom and Dawn and Tim, Nicole, all of the Orells in your prayers. I want to let you know about the arrangements. There will be a visitation on Tuesday night from 6 to 8 at Vogler's on Rinalda, and then the service will be here at College Park at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this hour of worship, when we may come and celebrate you, to celebrate our Lord and Savior, and the special occasion that Christmas is to each of us. Lord, in the past weeks we have celebrated hope and joy and peace. We celebrate love. We celebrate the kind of love that you have shown to us by sending your Son. The kind of love that you bless us with here on earth from those angels that touch us in special ways, in different ways that you manifest your love to us every single day. Lord, help this to be a celebration of love this week as we go from here and spend time together, spend time with our family, spend time with others. Help that love to be expressed through hugs and handshakes and smiles and warmth of being with others at Christmas. Lord, help us to feel your love. Help us to share your love with others and to take hold of the things that we have celebrated during Advent to prepare our hearts and minds to share those blessings with others in the new year. Lord, as we think about Jesus and we think about his birth and that great story in Bethlehem, let us think about rebirth in our own lives, rebirth in our families, rebirth in our ministry as we seek to do your will in our lives, to reach out to others and to show love to others, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Lord, thank you for Christmas and what this means to us. Thank you for this church. Help us to experience love and most importantly, to share love. Lord, as we worship you, as we lift our voices in song, as we read your word, as we come to you in prayer, let love be what is on our minds throughout Christmas. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you gave your son, your one and only son, with the promise that whoever believes will have eternal life. What a blessing we share to be here this morning, to share your birth with friends and relatives and our brothers and sisters through you. Help us as we share our gifts together that we will do so in remembrance of you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Two things that always seem to stand out at Christmas time. One of those is the music of Christmas. It was beautiful. Thank you very much. Music of Christmas, also the missions giving of Christmas. At the beginning of the service, we did not announce what our goal was and where we were in our goal, but I think you've noticed that all the candles are lit, which means that we have exceeded our goal. The goal was $20,000, and we have exceeded that this morning. As I understand it, the total is $20,049.08 as of the end of the Sunday school hour. That is a combined offering of offerings that will be sent to international missions through the Southern Baptist Convention, as well as to global missions offering through the CBF. So congratulations, but if you keep giving, you'll keep being blessed. I know many of you probably have not put your offering in yet for foreign missions, and we challenge you, even though we've exceeded our goal, there is so much more that can be done. So if you have not given yet, please continue to pray and do that. This morning we're going to read a passage that is very familiar, but I want to invite you to open your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The printed passage says 39 through 45, but I really need to back up. We need to back up to verse 26. Luke 1, 39 through 45 is our lectionary reading, but we want to set the stage just a little bit. So we'll be starting in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And also want to ask you, if you would, kind of keep your Bible handy. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. Find the one in the pew there in front of you. And if you would open to Luke chapter 1 and keep that open, because we're going to use that together just a few minutes. So right now we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 1 verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." As I've already said, I love the music of Christmas. There's something about the music of Christmas that's very special. And one of my favorite Christmas songs is a song called "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Many of you know that. But that's one of my favorites. And as I was hearing that song on the radio earlier this week, my mind was brought to this passage of Scripture. Do you hear what I hear? Both of these ladies, two relatives, Elizabeth and Mary, both of these ladies heard a word from God through the angel. Elizabeth, we didn't read all of her story, but we know that Elizabeth had received some news that probably was very unlikely. She was going to have a baby. And the reason it was unlikely for Elizabeth is because she was supposedly too old. And she had not been able to have children to this point. What in the world made her think that she could have a child at her age? And for Mary, she received unlikely news as well. Perhaps for the opposite extreme reason. She was not married. But yet she was to have a son. A son who would be the Savior of the world. Now, they had heard from the angels. Very unlikely news. But you also have to remember that the gentleman in their life also heard from the angels. Zechariah heard from an angel that he was going to have a son, and he didn't believe it at first. And because of his unbelief, even as a priest, he was struck dumb. He was not able to speak for a period of time. And Joseph received word that Mary was going to have a son. It's recorded in Matthew's gospel, and when he heard the news, obviously he was a little uneasy about this because of the circumstances. They were not married yet. So it was disturbing, perhaps. So what did these women really hear? What did they hear? The passage of Scripture that we've read, if you go and you read Bible commentaries, there's several different thoughts that come to mind, and they're explored in these commentaries. But the traditional reading of this passage would say something along the line of, Mary was so filled with joy at the news that she had received that she just had to go to her relative Elizabeth and tell her. She was just so filled with joy, she had to go to Elizabeth. Now, notice I keep using the term relative. That's because that's all that Scripture says she was. I know that some people say cousin, and we've heard all kinds of things that tradition has taught us, but Scripture says it was a relative. That's all we know. It could have been a cousin, it could have been an aunt, we just don't know. But it was someone that she wanted to go and share this joy, this good news. Another popular interpretation that is that Mary, although she was obviously very pleased with the news that she had received, she was also perhaps a little bit frightened at the implications of this news. And as she gathered her belongings to go, remember, this was not, hey, let's throw some stuff in a bag, put it in the car, and we'll be there in 5 minutes. She had to prepare. She had to prepare to leave. And then she had to journey to Elizabeth's house. Perhaps she gathered her belongings and walked. Perhaps she had the benefit of riding a donkey. We don't know. All we do know is it took a period of time. And in that period of time, a couple of things could have happened. Perhaps the joy that she had experienced at the announcement had just magnified during the time that she was preparing and journeying to Elizabeth's house. Or perhaps there was maybe a little bit of element of maybe some of her fears had begun to grow just a little bit too. So you have a contrast of things maybe that were going on. So what did Mary hear in the news from Gabriel? In retrospect, we know that the message was a message of love. Amen? For God so loved the world. That's very clear. It was a message of love. But put yourself in Mary's position. Teenage girls, put yourself in Mary's position. You see, suppose you lived in a culture where teenage pregnancy was not cool. It was a death sentence. Suppose you lived in a culture where if you got pregnant outside of wedlock, it was something that caused you to go and hide out of fear, not strut through the mall with pride. You see, Mary lived in a time when being pregnant out of wedlock was most likely an opportunity for you to get stoned to death. For that reason, I've always been very amused at conversations where people say, well, you know, when it says Mary was a virgin, they were speaking about the fact it was translated a young girl. It doesn't have anything to do with her relationships. It's translated correctly, a young girl. And it's always fascinated me that they would stand there and say that with a straight face, because they obviously don't understand the times. Because if there was a young girl who was not a virgin in a relational sense, she wouldn't be around long enough to have the discussion. Because it was a death sentence. So do you get the picture? Do you begin to understand maybe some of the anxiety that Mary felt and Joseph felt at the words, the announcement? What did they hear? They heard a wonderful message, a magnificent message, but a message that may have had just a little bit of frightening implications. So why did she go to Elizabeth? Why did she go there? Maybe she needed to hear from Elizabeth the affirmation in verses 42 through 45. Look at those. Maybe she needed to hear from Elizabeth the affirmation. Maybe she was sure of her part in God's plan. She was sure of that. She understood that very clearly. That God was going to send the Savior of the world through her. What a beautiful thing. But maybe she also needed the physical support of a relative, because it was an anxious time. And she needed a relative there, someone to love on her and encourage her. Maybe she felt that she needed to remove herself from the circumstances that would undoubtedly lead to gossip among all the good church people in Nazareth. And so she left the village and went to her relatives. So she goes to Elizabeth. You know, that's what we do in our lives, isn't it? When we have anxiety, when we have triumphs to announce, when we have potential tragedies that we need help with, who do we turn to? The people that know us. The people that love us, the people that encourage us, our family, our church family, that's who we turn to. Whatever reason she went, or reasons that she went to Elizabeth, we do know that she received the love and affirmation from Elizabeth. And according to verse 56, she actually stayed there a little while. You see, Elizabeth understood. She understood in part what was going on. Because she and her husband had been visited by an angel. She and her husband had been given unlikely news. And so when Mary shows up with her announcement, Elizabeth begins to put all of this together. She is there. She's in her 6th month of pregnancy. And she's able to get a bigger picture of what God is doing. And we're told that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What does she say? Look in verse 42. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." Now notice a couple things. First of all, Elizabeth did not bow down and worship Mary. Okay? She says that she's blessed among women. And from early on, remember, all the way back in the Old Testament, every time a Jewish baby was born, there was a potential for the mother to think, I wonder if this is the Savior. Eve could have even thought, as she continued to have children, maybe at some point she would have the Savior of the world because the Lord had promised that the Savior would come. So for generation after generation, for thousands of years, at the birth of every Jewish boy, the mother could have thought, I wonder if this is He. I wonder if this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when Mary comes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, and now you understand. Now you understand. That blessed child that you're going to bear, He is the Messiah who was promised thousands of years ago. The Messiah is going to be born. So she goes on. Now I want you to picture Mary and Elizabeth there and John, you know, kind of, they say that he's jumping for joy in Elizabeth's womb and they're there visiting and Elizabeth is just awestruck. And she says to her, but why am I so favored? Mary, why did you come to me? Why did you come to me first? You see, Mary didn't go anywhere else. Scripture says she went straight to Elizabeth's house. And Elizabeth says, why me? Why did you come and bring me the good news? Why did you honor me with that? Now Elizabeth talks about faith. And she says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. She's affirming Mary. She's encouraging her in a situation where Mary probably needed that affirmation and that encouragement. You see, the Lord spoke at creation, and it was so. It happened. The Lord sent His angel to speak to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and it was becoming so. It was happening. And the Lord sent Gabriel to speak to Mary. And says, you're going to have the Savior of the world. You're going to have a child. He's going to be the Messiah. And it will be so. And Elizabeth is affirming her. It was a message of love. It was one that was saying, the Savior of the world is going to be born to you, and thank you for coming to me and blessing me with this news. It was a message of love that would change their lives. It was a message of love that would literally change the course of human history. I don't know what it would take for us. It says they were awestruck. I don't know what it would take for us today to get there. Quite honest. What would it take for us to be awestruck? We live in a time where technology, communications, advancements in medicine, all of these things. And so for us to be truly awestruck is saying something. Most of the time it's, oh, that's nice. I mean, we've been to the moon. That's nice. How do you hit the moon with a rocket? How do you do that? We've walked under the oceans. That's nice. We've cured some diseases. We have vaccinations for some. We're working on others. That's nice. I can talk to a friend of mine on the computer who's halfway around the world. That's great. That's nice. If an angel spoke to us, would we even recognize it? Do we recognize the voice of God anymore? Either through an angel or through His Holy Spirit. Would we hear? Would we know that it was God speaking to us? Or would we say, that's nice. I wonder what that was all about. Mary would ask us, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear? The Word of God, a Savior, is going to be born. You see, so many times we think about the prophet Hosea who said, when I fed them, they were satisfied, and they were satisfied, they became proud, and they forgot me. Instead of remembering the news that was given to Mary, we forget. We live in a land of milk and honey, figuratively speaking. We've been blessed. Hosea says when we become fed, we become satisfied. And when we become satisfied, we become proud. And when we become proud, we forget God. We forget the words of the angel Gabriel. We forget the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We don't even recognize God's voice anymore because we think, we've done all this. Aren't we good? We have done all of this. And we become proud and we think it's of our doing. That's the way the world conditions us. We become proud of the things that we do. And the Lord would ask, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear that God has done all these things? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound in you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, that you will abound in every good work. That's just the opposite of what the world would say. The world would say, good job. You did it. You did it. You did well. You worked hard. You did it. For you and I as believers, the Lord would say, I give you everything at all times. He gives us grace so that instead of sitting back and kind of resting on our laurels and saying what a good job we've done, that we are called to and that we will want to abound in good works. That we will live Christian lives of faith and charity to show the love of Christ to other people. Not just at Christmas time. It's a wonderful time of year to do that, but not just at Christmas time. For all time and eternity, that is the message that we have to proclaim. That's what the Lord says. That's what the carol means when it says, do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Do you see what I see? Do you hear the voice of God proclaiming a blessing over and over again in the Word of Scripture? Not just in Mary's time, but in our time again. When Jesus was born, not everybody recognized him. That's our tie-in with this story. You say, well, what did Elizabeth have to do? Well, Elizabeth is where Mary went, but Elizabeth also gave birth to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist prepared the way. The world wasn't ready to receive him. And John the Baptist in John chapter 1 verse 29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. Yes, Jesus was born an infant in a manger. But he's also our Lamb of God, our perfect sacrifice of love. He takes away the sins of the world. Not only all the sins of the world, but our sins. Day after day, minute after minute, until we sit at his right hand. We see that. We hear that. We know that. We should proclaim that. So what did Elizabeth hear? She heard a message of hope. She heard a message of blessing. What did Mary hear? Mary heard a message of hope, peace, joy, and love. So my question is, what do you hear this Christmas Eve? Hopefully you've heard a similar message. Hopefully you've heard a message that brings hope to the hopeless, that brings joy to those people who are just driven by circumstance, that brings peace to a world that just constantly in conflict. And I hope that you also hear a message of love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you. For God so loved me. This amazing news swelled from Mary's heart. And in verses 46 through 55,
that swelling was vocalized. And I want us to read that together. Now, I know you may not have the New International Version. That's okay. All right? You're reading to God. You're giving praise to God. If you would like to read from NIV and you don't have a copy, I think our Pew Bibles are the New International Version. But we're going to read together verses 46 through 55. Would you join me in reading? And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." That was her song, a magnificent song. And then the passage closes with an interesting little verse. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I think, well, that's nice. Ladies, have you done the math yet? Yeah, you remember back in verse 36? How many months pregnant was Elizabeth? Yeah. Mary shows up. She stays how long? She must have left the day before John was born. No, I don't think so. Ladies, would you have left before John was born? No. A miracle was going to take place. Mary must have stayed. Mary must have seen the promise fulfilled in Elizabeth. And she must have left there encouraged that one promise had been fulfilled. Surely God was going to fulfill his promise through her. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, as we've read the words that came from Mary's mouth, magnificent words, words that claim that you are God, that you are sovereign over all, but yet you provide a way for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to know you personally. Dear God, we thank you for that opportunity. We know we're undeserving, but we praise you for the chance to praise you. Father, we pray this morning that you would touch our hearts, that you would allow us to see and to hear and to know the words that you would have us to see and to hear and to know. The words of your scripture, how you revealed yourself to us in your word. Father, we pray as we learn more about you in scripture that we will come to know you more in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. This morning, I hope that you've received a word of peace, joy, hope, and love as we've worshiped together. And I want to extend to you an invitation. If you are not a Christian, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ, to have a personal relationship with the Son of a holy God. If you are a believer, we want to give you an opportunity to recommit yourself during this time of Christmas, to have the kind of joy and peace in your heart that is told to others year-round, not just in Christmas time. Whatever your commitment would be, we want to give you an opportunity to make that. If you would like to come and kneel and pray that God would help you and that God would move among his people, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you are not a member of a church of believers and would like to join this fellowship, or perhaps you are a member and would like to join this fellowship, we welcome you. And there are many ways that we receive members and be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make it public as we stand and sing together now. ask you to be seated for just a moment. I have a couple people that I would like to introduce to you. First of all, I want to introduce you to Peyton Hun. Peyton, if you would come. Peyton has been coming here for a number of years, I think for about two or three years now, when Lana and Jason moved back to the area moved to the area with Peyton. The reason I say moved back to the area, I've known Lana a long time. She was one of my youth in Arkansas, so it is a joy to see her be a part of this church and to see her son come and publicly profess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he's accepted Christ, and he says, I'd like to be baptized too. And so that's why he's coming this morning, to let you know of his profession of faith and ask you to pray for him and encourage him as he continues to grow in the Lord. Will you do that? If you would, join me in saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, would you all join him? Cameron, would you come? This is Cameron Goodman. You all know Cameron. She's grown up here in the church as well. And she's coming this morning with the same decision. She's been talking about this a long time with Mom and Dad, and she's coming this morning to say that she wants to publicly profess Christ as her Lord and Savior, and that she would like to follow His example and be baptized as well. Will you pray for her and encourage her? And if you'll do that, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Mom, Dad, will you come stand with Cameron and celebrate? And we want to give you a chance at the conclusion of the service after the benediction, the response. Come by. Greet these new believers, these new children of yours to nurture, as well as children of God as they've made this just incredible decision. It's a joyous day, isn't it? This is good stuff. Thank you for being here. Come by and encourage them. Would you join me in standing now for our benediction? Dear Father, we've heard the words, a Messiah is born, a Savior has been given. Challenge us now as we go to spread the good news. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.